have to be honest with you and with everyone listening right now. When I first opened the file for today's deep dive, my brain did a complete double take.
Jarring is probably the polite way to put it.
Jarring is the only word for it. We cover a lot of complex topics here, but today we're looking at a transcript from a conversation with Will from something called Fit Fashion. And the central tension is, well, it's intense.
It feels like trying to mix oil and water, or at least what 99% of people would assume is oil and water.
Exactly. We're talking about two concepts that, usually sit on opposite sides of the room.
Oh.
On one side, you have Christian theology, these heavy, historic ideas of stewardship, reverence, modesty.
Sacred.
And on the other side, you have nudity.
Right. And I think for most listeners, just putting those two words in the same sentence feels contradictory, maybe a little scandalous.
It feels like a clerical error. But that's exactly why this is so fascinating. We are not looking at this for shock value, and the source material isn't either. Our mission today is just to understand how this specific framework, Fit Fashion, tries to reconcile the human body, specifically the naked body, with those deep theological ideas.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get from modesty to nudity without just throwing out the entire theological rule book?
Because usually that rule book just says put more clothes on.
It's the million-dollar question. The source material centers on this conversation with Will, where he lays out the groundwork. And to his credit, he doesn't dodge the hard questions. He's really asking, if the body is honored as God's creation, does that honor ever include nudity? Or is covering up the only way to be reverent?
And just to set the tone, because this is important, Will describes this discussion as measured and grounded. This isn't about being edgy, it's about a fundamental shift in how we see form.
So, where do we start?
Let's start with the absolute first thing we need to know. What are the rules of engagement here?
The absolute first thing, and this anchors the entire philosophy, is that nudity is never a requirement.
That seems like a really critical disclaimer to make right up front.
It is, because you might hear nudity in theology and think it's some sort of, I don't know, cultish requirement. But Will is incredibly explicit. It's never assumed, never encouraged as a standard. It is not the goal of the process.
So it's not like you walk into their studio and they say, okay, to find enlightenment, drop the robe.
No, absolutely not. That would defeat the entire purpose. The source makes it clear it's all dependent on the individual's comfort level, their personal convictions. It's an optional choice.
That's a huge aha moment for me because it just flips this typical script. In art or high fashion, nudity can feel like the default, a pressure tactic.
Exactly. It's often a commodity you trade for access. But here, the default is choice, agency. And because it's optional, if someone does choose it, it becomes this intentional act.
It's not passive compliance.
Not at all. It's a specific decision.
Which brings us to the next question. If it's optional, why would someone choose it? Especially from a background that values traditional modesty. What's the theological justification?
Okay, so this is where we have to put on our philosophy hats. Will grounds the entire argument in the book of Genesis.
Genesis, okay.
Specifically, he relies on the concept of the Imago Dei.
Imago Dei, Latin for image of God. That's pretty standard theology 101. But how does he connect that to being unclothed?
His argument is that because we are made in God's image, the human form itself is not accidental. He uses these really specific, evocative words. He says the body is not shameful. It is not something God rushed through.
Not something God rushed through. I love that phrasing. It implies this deep intentionality.
Precisely. It implies the physical body wasn't just, cheap packaging for the spirit. It was the art itself. Will argues the form is divine workmanship.
So within this framework, nudity stops being about exposure, which implies shame or vulnerability.
And it shifts to acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement of what, though?
Acknowledgement of the craftsmanship. Will argues that for some people, standing without adornment is a way of recognizing that they were created by a master artist. It's a rejection of the idea that the body is inherently bad.
So it's like if you go to a museum to look at a sculpture, you're not looking because you want to own it or because you're objectifying it. You're looking to say, wow, the person who made this did an incredible job.
That is very close to the mark. In fact, Will says the goal is not for the body to be consumed or admired in a vanity sense. The goal is for it to be recognized as created.
Honoring the artist by not hiding the art.
Exactly. And that requires a massive mental shift, not just for the person being photographed, but for the viewer. You have to learn to see without wanting.
But hold on, that sounds great in a vacuum. But we live in a culture where nudity is, well, it's usually selling something, a burger, a car, a movie ticket. How does fit fashion distinguish what they are doing from what we see on a billboard?
That is the crucial distinction. If you miss this, you miss the whole thing. Will draws a very hard line between what he calls cultural nudity and what we might call theological nudity.
Okay, let's break those down, because I think cultural nudity is something we all instinctively recognize.
Will identifies four main drivers for it in our culture: desire, marketing, consumption, and power.
Yeah, that tracks. It's about seduction, look at this so you'll buy that, or look at me so you'll want me. It's transactional.
Highly transactional. There's a narrative attached to it, an invitation. Mm-hmm. But Will contrasts that with the fit fashion approach. He describes their aesthetic as being rooted in stillness, restraint, and dignity.
Stillness and restraint. Those are not words I usually associate with nudity.
And that's the entire point. Will says that in their images, there is no invitation. There is no narrative, and absolutely no seduction.
So cultural nudity is active. It's projecting want. And this approach is almost existential. It's just saying, here is a form.
Just form held with reverence. That's the phrase he uses. It's about stripping away all the social cues of seduction to leave only the fact of creation. It helps you separate the act of being nude from the intent behind it.
That's a heavy lift, though, to separate act from intent. We're so culturally wired to interpret nudity as sexual.
We are wired that way culturally, is what Will would argue. But theologically, if you believe the body was made by God before clothes existed, then the body itself isn't inherently sexual or sinful. It's just human.
Okay, but intentions are tricky. You can say, my intent is reverence, but human nature is messy. How do you actually keep it reverent in practice? What are the guardrails?
This brings us to the how. You can have the philosophy, but the rubber has to meet the road. For Will, the answer is boundaries.
What kind of boundaries?
Physical or mental?
Both, really. He describes a process that is deeply consent-driven and conversation-led. And he talks about a spectrum of honor.
A spectrum of honor. What does that mean? It's actually the opposite of rigid. It means some clients feel fully aligned staying fully clothed. Others choose form-fitting garments. And others explore nudity. The source stresses, and this is key, that all of those choices are honored equally.
I think that's a really important point, because often in these body positive movements, there's a subtle pressure, a voice that says, if you were really free, you'd take your clothes off.
Exactly. A new kind of legalism, thou shalt be naked. Mm-hmm. And fit fashion explicitly reject that. They say honoring God for one person might mean remaining clothed. That is their act of stewardship.
Stewardship. That's a word we usually hear about money or the environment. How does Will define it for the body?
He breaks it down into three things: responsibility, care, and restraint.
Restraint is interesting.
It is. It implies that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, unless it aligns with that responsibility. Will brings up Eden here.
The Garden of Eden, naked and unashamed. Is he saying we should try to go back to that? That feels a bit naive.
No, and he's careful about that. He says they don't try to recreate Eden. We live in a fallen world. You can't just pretend shame doesn't exist. But he argues we have to acknowledge that the body itself is not the problem.
Misuse is the problem.
Misuse is, that's the quote, the body existed before shame. So in this framework, nudity isn't an act of rebellion against rules. It's not freedom from God.
It's trust in how God formed us.
Exactly. It reclaims the territory. It refuses to cede the human body to the advertising industry. It says, no, this belongs to the creator.
So we've got the theology, the cultural contrast, the boundaries. But at the end of the day, how do you judge if an image works? What's the measuring stick?
Will provides a core metric. And it's not visual. It's not about inches of skin. He says what matters is not how much of the body is shown, but why it is being shown.
Intention over fabric.
That's the tagline. He says there's a specific disqualifier. If the intent shifts toward performance or provocation, the image no longer belongs in fit fashion.
So hypothetically, you could be fully clothed, but if your intent is provocation,
you're missing the mark. You're violating the principle of stewardship.
And conversely, you could be completely nude, but if your intent is stillness and acknowledgement,
you are hitting the mark. You've hit the nail on the head. That is the radical shift. Modesty, in this view, isn't a hemline. It's a posture of the heart.
It reminds me of what Will said about reverence looking different for different people. It's like fit fashion refuses to be scared of the human body.
That's the synthesis. It doesn't elevate nudity. It's still optional, but it refuses to fear the body. It refuses to treat it like a dangerous weapon that has to be locked away.
A refusal to let fear dictate the relationship with yourself, because shame is often just rooted in fear.
Correct. Will sums it up by asking, is this body being treated as something to consume or something to honor? That answer matters far more than fabric.
It's heavy stuff, but it really challenges the boxes we put things in. It forces you to examine your own motivations. Why do you wear what you wear? Is it reverence or is it shame?
And are we looking at others to consume them or to acknowledge them? It flips the responsibility onto the viewer, too.
So as we wrap this up, the main takeaway for you listening isn't that this is a pitch for nudism. If that's what you got, you missed it.
No, absolutely not. It's about revealing intention. It's about a choice to view the body through the lens of craftsmanship rather than consumption.
And for some, that acknowledgement might require stripping away the layers to see that imago Dei clearly.
While for others, it doesn't. And both are okay.
Yeah.
The ultimate question is that binary choice Will presented, consumption or honor.
It really moves the conversation from rules to reasons.
Absolutely. A much harder but much more rewarding conversation.
I want to leave you with one final thought from the source material. It's a bit of a challenge. It really stuck with me.
It's a good one. If the body is, as the source says, God's workmanship, crafted, not accidental, then treating it with fear might be just as much of a misunderstanding as treating it with exploitation.
Exactly. We know exploitation is bad, but we rarely think of fear or shame as being wrong in that same way. We sometimes think of shame as being pious.
Right. But if you're ashamed of a masterpiece, what does that say about the artist?
So here's the question to mull over today. How does viewing your own body as crafted, intentionally designed, change how you look at yourself in the mirror?
It changes everything.
It really might. Thanks for diving deep with us today.
Until next time.